This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Welcome, everybody, to A Touchline Rant, episode 188. Is 88 two fat ladies? What's 88?
I think so,
yeah. It is, isn't it? We are... I know. Well, it's unexpected, but I was thinking, is 88 two fat ladies? I don't know. Anyway, we digress. We are here to talk football. My name is Luke, and I'm joined today by my podcasting co-host, Mr. Mitchell Gadd.
Hello.
There he is.
Look, good to be back.
Yeah,
it's been a week already. I can't believe it.
I know. Unbelievable. It was only last week that we were sat here making each other laugh excessively for our own benefit, really, and people listening.
Yeah, it's been a week for us, but if for other people, timelines could be different because they could be. They may have listened. I don't know when people, you know, people listen.
They could be listening
in their own time. They could be, They could be binging.
Someone could be listening to this in like 2022.
That's true. Yeah, let us know what it's like.
Let us know exactly right. Yeah. At a touchline rant.
Do you reckon anyone binge listens to this? Like, do you reckon they go on?
Not anyone that we'd respect.
We'll score up about five episodes of A Touchline Rant, and then we'll binge. I do know a couple of people who binge listen to the Euro shows, actually. I do, yeah. But they were daily, so that makes a little bit more sense. I do actually. I know a couple of people who got on after like about a week of shows, and they caught up with them all. But they were shorter and daily, so it's not a situation slightly different. But
the world comes at you fast when you record a weekly football podcast, especially during the transfer window. We are to date this podcast. We're recording this on transfer deadline day, so we're keeping an eye on what's guaning.
A lot can happen in a week, but in transfer deadline day, a lot can happen in a day.
Yeah, it can.
What's going on?
Can I begin this episode of the podcast by talking about Manchester United for a little bit and their transfer window?
Yeah, we'll allow you to do that this week because I think it's more than warranted.
There's a few bits of Man United news which are interesting. One, in that it seems to be that news that it potentially could have, the Manchester United could have been used and sucked into a situation where, so maybe there wasn't as much contact with Man City as we were led to believe. There's that one theory, doing the rounds, but Ronaldo wanted to come back to United. United were like, no. So he's like, fine, I'll join Man City, knowing that Man City would sign him.
Yeah.
There's maybe George Mendes just used it as a way to get him back at United where he wanted. But regardless, we went into not long after recording this very podcast last week, Mitch, we went in and it looked for all intents and purposes as though Ronaldo was going to be signing for City. And you had, you know, the old quote from Solskjaer where he was like, I know we're all professional, but if you play for Manchester United, you don't sign for Manchester City. Which, albeit, was an older quote, but it was still warranted. And then, lo and behold, he signs for Man United. Were you surprised as I was?
I was surprised, yeah. I didn't think, because there's always been the little, you know, murmur as to whether he'd go back over the years. But it just seemed like it was kind of one of those where he'd always be remembered fondly, but wouldn't go back. But yeah, I was really surprised. It it just came out of nowhere, really. It all happened really fast with the City thing. And like I said, there's been a few different theories, I suppose, if you want to, for want of a better phrase, as to how it all transpired and what order things happened in and what the plan was and so on. But yeah, I was super surprised. And I mean, this window has just been... It's crazy. I think this is like, I remember the Robinho came to City and he was
that was a mad one
because I think that was the same day
when they signed Robinho that Man United signed Berbatov. That was that transfer window.
Yeah, that was
and City
same window.
So
that was pretty mad.
Yeah, City tried to hijack the Berbatov bid at the last minute. Ended up signing Robinho.
I think that was up there with the craziest. But yeah, I think this one. Wow, this has been just something that's been because a lot of them are dark.
Before we move on entirely, I want to just tell a story of my week. Do you want to hear about my week?
Go on then.
So, when the news started doing the rounds that Leeds were interested in signing Dan James and that talks had started because United were willing to sell, I defended Dan James on Twitter. Yeah? Would you like to hear what I said, Mitchell?
Yeah, go on. I know what you said, but for the benefit of...
I said people need to put a lot more respect on Dan James's name. His pace alone causes defenders nightmares. Is he world class? No, but he's far better than some of you lot seem to think he is. Now, I think that was a very reasonable tweet to make.
Apparently not.
I had hundreds of replies. Hundreds. I'll read you some of my favourites. Someone just tweeted location, shrug, which is to do with the fact that my location on Twitter is Wales.
Clever.
Yeah. This was a good one. He's crap, good riddance. So I was like, okay, people are disagreeing with my point. They get better. This one did make me chuckle. Running into the first man at 20 mile an hour isn't striking fear into anyone, but for health reasons. I did like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is football, mate, not track and field. That didn't make me laugh. I'm just going to round this up. I'm trying to find my favorite. Oh, this is a good one. They have ruined the new generation. I'm 36. but this is my favorite one. And I will get at Poppadom. tweeted me and said, please stop with this all virtue signaling religionism.
What?
I think I know how he voted in the last general election. I'm just going out there.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, there you are.
But yeah. So Dan James ain't as you think, you know. And they all, fuck you. That was my week. Getting assaulted. Twitter. United, look, the fact is, Heaton came an additional goalkeeper because Sergio Romero being out, because you can't realistically use Lee Grant as a genuine... Lee Grant is basically the mascot of the first team. Lee Grant will probably still be on a first team playing contract when he's in his 50s because they'll just keep him around because they're like, you're great, you are, for morale. He'll just stay around as a goalkeeper and just sit on the bench. So Tom Heaton was brought in because he knows the club. He came through the youth ranks. He's an experienced goalkeeper. We all know he's third choice. just in case anything happens to De Gea or Dean Henderson, we got Tommy in him. That's a decent bit of business. He's probably never going to get a game, maybe in the Carabao. We then signed Jadon Sancho, one of the most exciting wingers. His previous performance, notwithstanding, because he was a bit shocking in his first start, to be fair to the lad, but he's young and he'll learn. Then we signed Raphael Varane, the beating heart of the French and Real Madrid backline. And then now we've signed Cristiano Ronaldo. We've had worse windows.
Well, yeah, that's putting it lightly. Yeah, bloody hell. That's it was a heck of a window. I think that even before Ronaldo, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's decent. You can't complain of Varane and Sancho in the same window. To then,
I think, and icing on the cake, Ronaldo, cherry on the icing on the cake, obviously, would be a central midfielder for United. But to be fair, that even without that, they're. The window has been incredible for them. And to be fair, they're sort of signing players now that will make a difference to first 11 and in positions where they could do with strengthening as well. And we've said before on this podcast when
we need to send Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's what they're that's the last piece of the jigsaw, I think. But Liverpool, if you think like we've praised Liverpool's recruitment over the last couple of years, and they've done well is they've identified a player they want, they've identified a position they need a player in, then they've identified a player in that position who's their target, and they've gone out and got it. And United have done that eventually with Sancho and got him for a lot cheaper than they would have if they'd got him a year before. They've obviously identified that in central defence with Varane.
Yeah.
And obviously Ronaldo, as we said, a bit more maybe opportunistic, but at least they're signing players where they do fit and they're not trying to just, you know, sign a player for sign a player's sake.
No, the fact is even Ronaldo, and I think, like even with Ronaldo, the reason they've signed Ronaldo is because up front, like it or not, you can't rely on Edison Cavani to play every game. And Martial has not been good enough for that United side. If you want to build a team, which are very, 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 very good in every position, our striker, the one in the middle, has been a problem. So what they've done is they've gone out there and just gone, right, Ronaldo's available on a free. We'll just put him there, you know?
And also, they've got, and if you think about the other things that Ronaldo brings as well as the goals, is it's a long time now since United have won anything.
Yeah.
And even longer since they've won the league. It's not like they've got players in that, you know, loads of players in that squad that are used to going that extra step. They've lost a lot of semi finals, they lost the final, the Europa League last season. I think they need people with a winning mentality. Varane brings that. Ronaldo brings that. And also, if you think of the development of people like Mason Greenwood, even Sancho, who obviously, you forget, you know, he's a player learning his craft, even though he's come from Germany with, you know, this reputation that he's built up there. You know, there's players that can learn from Ronaldo, and there's no better player to learn from. No. You know, someone who's first into training ground, last out, hitting the gym, works his socks off. You know, that mentality, winning mentality and work hard mentality, what he'll bring to youngsters coming for United is going to be worth it. You know, it's going to be worth what he brings, you know, as on top of what he brings on the pitch as a performer himself. So
yeah, like think of the impact that I'll have with Marcus Rashford, for instance.
Yeah.
Like Marcus Rashford. And also, let's not forget, for those attacking players, people forget, if you are trying to become a great goal scorer, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, on his own, is a pretty decent person to learn that from. Just if you want to learn how to get into the positions to score goals. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has said for a very long time, the most natural finisher at the club is Mason Greenwood. He says he's the best finisher at the club. And that was when he was playing in the youth setup. You know, he was like 17 or something. And they were who's the best finisher at the club, Martial or Rashford? And he said Mason Greenwood. And he's come up now, and Solskjaer has managed his development. He kept him out of the spotlight when he needed to be kept out of the spotlight. The club looked after him. The club threw their arms around him and protected him from... It looked a bit dodgy at one point, media-wise. There was a bit of a tension on Mason, and the club went, well, you just won't have access to the club then because we protect our own. And it went away, you know?
Yeah.
And then you add on top of that to the fact that every single day he's going to be playing in training with Eddie Cavani and Ronaldo. If you're a young striker and at your disposal every single day of the week in training is Solskjaer, Cavani and Ronaldo, if you don't learn, you're an idiot and you don't deserve to be playing football for a living. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even I could...
And I don't think finisher. He falls into that. He doesn't fall into that category as well, because he just strikes you as a lad which is going to go places, because he's... The way he's developed, like you said, and the fact he seems to be getting better every time I see him. His finishing is fantastic, but also, like, he looks like a player that likes to shoulder that responsibility. Like he's playing up top then in that lone striker role, and he's delivering. And I think he looks like he relishes that. He just seems like someone who nothing is phasing him. Thrown in there, and he's just performing every game that he's playing. He's getting, you know, he's getting a goal. He's in the box.
Yeah.
He's
brilliant.
He's getting into positions of maximal opportunity. Those pomos for those analysts out there.
Right.
You know, he just looks the part. You know, he just looks like his development is going all in the right trajectory. So
yeah, hopefully he keeps it down and just develop from here. You know.
Okay. So I think what the underlying factor is United have signed players where I think they improved the first team, they improved the mentality of the squad, they'll improve the development of players that are already there. So that's why all in all, I think it's been a good window. And I think, and I also think the last thing on United then, and Ronaldo in particular, is signing Ronaldo in the fashion they did. Now, however it came about, whatever sort of order of play it was behind the scenes, the message that sends to the rivals is that United consider themselves as back. They consider themselves back in amongst genuine title contenders fighting for that championship. And whether that happens and whether that comes to fruition, who knows? But as a message that sends, and in terms of recruiting other players, that suggests that, hey, you know, because for a while, if you were a top player, why would you go to Manchester United? Because they were, you know, floundering and really struggling to get in Champions League spaces, not always getting in there the last few years. So this sends a good message for them. So
this window has been huge for them. Huge. To sign players, like you said, the quality of Varane and the potential of Jadon Sancho. And then, like, I was already delighted with our business. If we just signed another midfielder, I'd have been happy. I could have been a lot happier. But the fact is that they've gone out and bought a player in a position we didn't necessarily need to fill this summer, but it turns out to be one of the two best players that have ever played the game. And I'll just leave it with this. I've seen a lot of fans of rival clubs suddenly start reminding us that Ronaldo is quite old. If he'd signed for City, every City fan would be fucking gagging right now. And if he signed for Liverpool, every Liverpool fan would be gay. If you sign Cristiano Ronaldo and you're not excited, there's something wrong. Like everyone. And so I've seen a lot of fans going, yeah, well, he's old. You wouldn't want him. Why have United bought him? They don't need him. Shut up. Every Chelsea fan, are you telling me Chelsea would turn down the opportunity? No, of course they wouldn't. There's not a single club in the world who would turn down the opportunity to sign him. It just so happens he wanted to come to us. He's a sensible lad. You know, he's come home for a little bit. Can we go from the sublime to the utterly ridiculous and talk Arsenal Football Club?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
I preface this with I will be balanced and reasoned, and I'm very aware that we, as a podcast entity, Mitchell, have the ability somehow to change the course of future events with what we say on this podcast. And case in point, when we said that Eze was going to have a really good season, and we were all going to have him in our fantasy football teams, and he got injured for the season, literally the next day. So we've said teams are going to win a game and think we've done it. Well, there's no way they can't possibly win this, and there's some other they've lost. We've done it all. We've seen it all. But Arsenal Football Club have been an absolute, utter embarrassment for three games.
Oh, got it out there, haven't you?
Yeah, not just to their fans, not just for the, but just for football in general. Footballers collective have turned their heads over their shoulders and looked at Arsenal this week and gone, fuck you playing at? Like, what are you doing? Get your shit together. They're the drunk uncle at a wedding at the moment. They're the embarrassment. but what do you think? Where do you see Arsenal right now? Are they as bad as I make it out?
Well, the performance on the weekend was shocking. I know they had the player sent off, but they were already 2-0 down. And I mean, what Xhaka's doing? But like, but then you think Xhaka's let Arsenal down on the pitch a number of times. Like, I think that's his 11th red card in his career. That's crazy. But like, it just, you know, that's not a player when he makes a tackle like that that is up for the fight. That's the opposite. That's a player that actually is saying, "Nah, I'm just gonna make a ridiculous tackle." And surely he knows a tackle like that. He's been sent off 10 times before it. Is going to get him a red card. So does he not fancy the rest of the game? So I think, so when you look at players on the pitch letting down, but then Xhaka's just been given a new deal. Like, you know, and I, to be fair, I think he's let him down too many times. I don't think he should be given a new deal. A lot of Arsenal fans don't think he should have been given a new deal. But the reason...
No, I don't think, I agree players with like you.
The reason players like that are getting a new deal, it's like they haven't bought players to replace him. They haven't got... So it all comes back to their policy of who they're signing, or the lack of players they're signing. You know, Odegaard's a good player. Like, he obviously made a difference last season because Arsenal, second half of the last season, they were third in form. So if you went after Christmas, I think they were third in the league in terms of...
Yeah, they did decent.
So he obviously made a difference. But ironically, probably him and Emile Smith Rowe... Emile Smith Rowe's been playing that role as well. Probably you can fit them both in that Arsenal team, but it's probably one player. They've got someone in a position there that can do a great job, but still, he obviously made a difference, you know, a good signing, but you know, they need so much more. They've shipped on a lot of the dead weight. They've got rid of a lot of dead weight, but that's only one half of the equation. You ship out the dead weight. You need to bring players in. And I think looking at the signings, like, to be fair, I don't want to be too disparaging, but I don't think Ramsdale's up to the job. I think Ben White's obviously a good defender, but there are players that, you know, again, no disrespect to Brighton, but when you go to a big, big, big club, which Arsenal are, the spotlight on you. And when you go for a 50 million price tag, whether that's his, even though that's not, he doesn't set the price tag, you will get put under pressure. And the pressure and spotlight will, and players will look at his first performance, as I said, after Brentford game, and look and think, we can get at him. And the challenge for Ben White will be, it's like in cricket when a bowling attack finds out your error in your technique. You know, you've got to go away as a batsman, work on that, and come back stronger. As a defender, if there's a weakness identified by the opposition, you're going to get put under the pump all the time. People are going to look what Tony did to Ben White, and they're going to think, right, how can we can replicate that? And the challenge is, and Ben White might be good enough to turn around and face up to that challenge. Defenders have done it in the past. I hope he does. I hope he does for their sake. Yeah. I hope he does for... You know, Alex Skinner, our friend and co-host on here, but that could be a problem for them. So suddenly you've spent money, and we talked about United and we talked about Liverpool's transfer policy over the last couple of years being a success because you're improving the first 11 in identified positions. The problem with Arsenal is I look at signing of Ramsdale, That's not improving the first 11 because Leno had a great season last season. Nothing wrong with that. He, you know, that. So again, and then you think you've got so many positions you need to strengthen in, particularly in the. Well, you could name a bunch of positions, but if you're spending that much and you're not improving your first 11, then I wonder what's happening with their transfer policy, because at the moment, as a club, they just look lost, and
they have.
I just think Arteta looks like he's tearing his hair out with them every game. But then he's got a small squad now of players, and he's going to play those players. So what does he do?
They've got big players in some big positions as well. Like you and I both said before on this that we didn't believe that Aubameyang should have been offered such a massive contract at the age that he was, regardless of how good he was at that season. He had a phenomenal season. They gave him a huge pay increase. And they were suddenly, now they're looking around going, oh shit, he's on a load of money for a long time and he's 31 or however old he is, you know? They did the same with Willian, who's now gone. But they've got big players like Lacazette as well. They've got these big players for these. And Xhaka probably fits into that role. But I don't know what side they are. I don't know what sort of side they are. I know what sort of side Everton are. I know what sort of side they are. I know what sort of how Cardiff City are going to play football. I know what side kind of team Man City are going to do. If you said to me, what style of play do Arsenal have and what style have they built their team around? I'd go, I have no idea. Because how they think that they can have a team which has got someone like Granit Xhaka in it. And I mean, as at the time of recording, they've still got Hector Bellerin at the club doing nothing, just going to waste. They've got a lot of players like that. And you go, well, I don't know what their style is. I don't know what their style of football is. They let someone who I have said numerous times, I'm a huge fan of Reece Nelson, should be in the Arsenal starting 11. Like, he's so talented. But they've sent him out on loan again, and he's going to rip it up on loan. I'm convinced of it, because he's brilliant. He did in Germany. He had an absolute storm in Germany. And Arsenal have just done nothing with him. They frustrate me. I don't know how Skinner does it. Yeah, I literally don't know how Skinner is a fan, because they do my head in. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd literally spend my entire, like 80% of my days fuming. Just annoyed.
Well, that's what people on Arsenal TV are all about. I mean, no wonder they're fuming all the time.
Yeah, but I don't think it's an act. I just genuinely do think Arsenal just get on your last nerve to the point where you're like, do you know what?
Genuinely that. No, they're definitely an act. Surely.
I don't think it is. I think that's the Arsenal effect. I think being an Arsenal fan just turns you into like a stereotypical angry middle-aged man. Annoyed at the world, doesn't understand pronouns, you know. just probably voted leave, has got a signet ring. This is what the Arsenal turn you into, because they make you bitter, because they take all the love out of the world. Arsenal, they're depressing. Yeah. Do you know what? We'll get on to fantasy football. But I might captain Grant Hanley, because Norwich play Arsenal next, and I'm telling you, I fancy Norwich.
I'll tell you when we get into fantasy football why Arsenal annoyed me this week as well.
Right.
But I think. What do they do? They need to pull something out of the bag. But I think whatever they do, it's not going to be.
I think they've lost the bag.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I think that they know they need to pull something out of the bag, but they've lost the fucking bag. So they're like, how can we pull it out of there when we don't know where it is?
They've lost the hat. Rabbit was going to come out.
Rabbit's dead, Mitch.
Rabbit's dead and someone's nicked the hat.
Fucking hat's been nicked. Rabbit's dead. Sat there. Like someone's boiled the bunny and Arteta's in the kitchen just looking over it. Just like, oh my God.
The rabbit ate the hat.
Yeah, someone's let the doves out of his coat. They fucked off. He's running out of magic tricks that he can pull. Eventually, he's just going to be there trying to pretend that he's got like a massive thumb and he's taking the edge of the hand trick that you can do, really, the tip of your tongue. Like, you seen this? Talking about someone that needs to pull something out of a hat, Wolverhampton Wanderers, that's the other Premier League club supported by a fellow member of this parish, Mr. Jordan Lloyd, captain of CSKA, co-host of the Touchline Rant. He supports Wolverhampton Wanderers. He is seething right now. He has been saying all along that Wolves are criminally understaffed. He's the first team is quite thin. Today they've let Morgan Gibbs-White out on loan, which leaves them with three registered centre midfielders. Three.
Is that true? Bloody hell.
Now at the club, they have three registered centre midfielders. That's it.
Yeah.
The only where they've got other midfielders is the youth team. And we're talking kids that some of them may not have played any level, like, you know, first team level. So they've played against people their own age, basically.
Yeah.
They've had a shocker.
They're desperate. Like last season as well, I know all teams have problems with injuries, but they particularly had a rough time with injuries, bad injuries. Obviously, Jimenez being the most high profile one, but they had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
You know, Neto lost towards the end of the year as well. But they seem to be hit down with a lot of injuries. So if you're already short and then you're being hit by injuries, that amplifies it. You know, it sort of exacerbates the problem. But surely you think it would amplify the issue for those in working behind the scenes to get deals done. But obviously, they don't strike me when you look at their window as a team that is you wouldn't look at it and think, oh yeah, they desperately need to get players in, because they haven't been massively active. They've been, I guess, I don't know what's happening, because we thought about 24 hours ago it looked like they might get Renato Sanchez in. As
time that's gone recorded, up the Swanee.
That's gone up the Swanee. You know, that would have been a good signing. That would have been a great signing. He had a great Euro, so. Yeah, I think, you know, Morgan Gibbs-White going out. They're short. They're desperately short. And, you know, I think that the lad they got from RB Leipzig, Huang, I think he, you know, he, if you look at his record and you know, clips of him, he looks lively. He could be a good player. But, you know, that's they need more than that. You know,
they don't need suggestive looks, Mitch. They need to be on a promise. Wolves need players who, instead of being those kids that you go, oh, you know, or those younger players, you go, oh, he could be decent. Someone will always whisper, but he could be Saeed Berahino. He could be one of those players that doesn't actually fulfill the potential. He could be, when you sign a young player, he could be De Ligt, but he could also be Phil Jones. And do you know what I mean? You don't know how their careers will pan out. Wolves now are at the stage where they don't need maybes, they need definites, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I think because Moutinho is sort of, obviously he's getting on a bit now as well, and I think there's been a times where Jordan would have told us as well that him and Neves playing together hasn't always worked as well. I think you've got it's a strange, because you've got that experience in there, but then, you know, you've got Silva, and you've got Fabio Silva, and you've got Ike Nori, you know, players that are young players, even Morgan Gibbs-White. Ike Nori's, Morgan Gibbs-White's, your Fabio Silva's, you know, they're young players that are learning their craft, but you need players, you do need players that that are going to help them. And it's quite a young squad. And I think Fabio Silva last season, and obviously heightened again by, as I said, the Jimenez injury, probably had more game time than Wolves would have wanted and intended for him to have. And sometimes that works, but other times, you know, he does need to bulk up. He's lightweight. So he's having to do a role and be thrown in there before he is probably physically and at that development stage. And he's having to lead the line for them because they're short. And, you know, I think Trincao looked really good against United.
Yeah, he's good signing.
You know, I think he could be a great sign for them. But they do need people in the here and now, like you said, are going to be straight in. That have got a bit of experience as well. And I mean, the sad thing is as well, I really hope I'm wrong, and John said this, but I watched Jimenez against United, and I do worry about whether the injury this is a player as well.
He looks like a man who needs a goal to me.
He does look like a man, and they've had, you know, they've had some tricky games. Like, you know, you're talking three of the top, was it, I don't know, six or seven? Where would Tottenham finish? I can't even remember where Tottenham finished last season. So they're not the easiest games, and they've got a good run of fixtures. So maybe the goal will come in the league and someone is going to get completely spanked because they've, God knows, they've deserved and they've had lots of chances for goal. And maybe Jimenez will get on a run, but I do worry, and a similar thing happened with Petr Cech when he had the head injury. Yeah. And he wasn't quite the same player afterwards. He was still good, but you think of how much of a colossus he was before the injury at Reading. And I do think Jimenez is a player that does, and it's what happened with the injury. He got in where it hurt. He got his head in, you know, he was decent in the air, you know, and I did look at him and I thought, I hope that I'm not right, but I did think that he doesn't quite look the same since he's come back, and I've watched him in a couple of games now this season. So if suddenly that is an issue as well, then you've got to replace in a position where you think you've just had someone coming back and it's like a new signing with the buzz and the return of him. So that adds to the issue of, you know, you talked about United needing the centre midfield. Wolves need one way more than United we need one.
Yeah, no.
So suddenly, they are lightweight in the squad. And again, if you're a team now, when one of your potential signings has gone up the Swanee, as you said with Sanchez, if you're looking around, you've not been linked to someone, and it's this time on deadline day, you know, it's the equivalent of, if you sign someone, of going to the petrol station to buy your missus some flowers on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly just trying to pull a rabbit out of the hat. The rabbit's fucking dead.
The rabbit's dead, Mitch.
You've gone to the petrol station to buy a rabbit.
Yeah.
They don't even sell the rabbit at a petrol station. So I think, yeah,
Wolves just stood outside the petrol station banging the glass. The guy who works inside it is going, "We don't sell rabbits. If you don't leave, I'm going to call the police." And Wolves are banging on the window. Ruben Neves is in the car crying. He's like, "I don't want to be here anymore." And he's,
it's a good job that Sean isn't on here, because he would feel like topping himself after this, wouldn't he? But they're in trouble with that. With the squad, is just like, if they get injuries like they did last season again.
I know, they'd be screwed. They'd be absolutely screwed. Should we finish on a quicker fantasy football talk? Do you want a bomb?
Yeah, can I just do my phone? Yeah, can I do my phone? Because I usually start the season terribly in fantasy football. Have to wild card early. I usually pull it back around Christmas time, and you know, I do well. You know, I've won a few mini leagues and all that. This year, we've got a head to head league with CSK/ATR mix. First loss, two wins, and then first loss, narrow defeat, and Arsenal. You know, all I needed, because my opponent had a Man City goalkeeper, Man City defender. Any Arsenal goal would have been lovely, would have made the difference. I'd have won. Then Calvert-Lewin scored, Bamford scored, maximum points. I captained Antonio, great. Then he captained Salah, and obviously I thought Chelsea winning 1-0, this could be tight. Obviously the penalty came, Salah ends up getting 3 bonus points, which I wasn't expecting from that game. I was expecting it to be like a 0-0 or something, or a Chelsea 1-0. So I just felt like a lot of things didn't go necessarily against me, but went for... obviously, Bamford's goal was really late as well. That would have put me going into the last game with Fernandes in front. So it was a bit of a frustrating week, but I'm not trying not to be too disappointed, because I felt like lots of things went for my opposition. And even then, it was only like, it was like a 9-point win. And so it wasn't a massive win. So anyway, but you're 3 out of 3, aren't you?
I am 3 out of 3 in the league, barely. So the first week, I just basically, I managed to beat someone who got 98 points, which was ridiculous. 98 points he got, and he still didn't win. I beat him. The second week, I needed, going into the final game, I needed Antonio and Benrahma to save me again, which they did, and Julie gave me the win. This week, I genuinely thought that I'd lost it. But it turned out my opponent had made 2 transfers when he only had 1 free transfer, took a -4, and those -4 points cost him the victory. Otherwise, he'd have beaten me by a point.
That's the thing this season now, because I'm spread across head-to-head, that head-to-head and the Classic League, usually I wouldn't be adverse to a -4. And this season, I'm going to definitely be thinking twice about whether I take a -4.
We'll take our -4 against Craig. That's fine.
Probably. Yeah. Bless him. Craig came up against someone who took a -12 this week and still managed to lose. I think that's the week to target it. But you mean, like, I think now I would have to think twice. I say think twice. I think probably, like, 25 times instead of 24 times about whether I take a -4. So who knows? I think, you know, we've got an international break now, so it's a bit frustrating when you've just come off a loss, first loss.
Yeah,
of the season,
I'm grateful for the break, to be fair. I am great.
Yeah.
Problem that I've got, though.
My team needs a bit of work, I think, but I'm just, like I said, I'm wonder how much work I'll do, because I think the wild card is, as we said last week, is around 7. So
yeah, not yet. Game week 7. Game week 7, because that's when the start of Chelsea's really good run starts. Yeah,
that's when you want.
Then you can use the wild card to bring in if Lukaku becomes a genuine, really good option in fantasy football.
Now you've got. It will be interesting though, because now you're going to have a situation where I think with the international break, I think people will be tempted to look at wildcard in around this time. There will be some be tempted. But I do think now you've got a situation with Lukaku's come back. We've got Kane that is now, we now know where his future lies. And we've got Ronaldo coming in. Like, you've now got 3 players that what said in the community will potentially disrupt the tempo that exists in the first weeks, where you've got, you know,
you can't have these premium players. Now we've all managed so far to start this season with basically between us all 1 premium defender. We've basically all got a premium defender. I've got Trent. You've got Trent, haven't you?
Trent.
So we've both got Trent. We've then gone, all of us have gone in and got Bruno and Salah. All of us.
Yeah.
And then filled our team with mid-priced midfielders. And we've all gone Danny Ings and Antonio. Some of us have gone Tony, some of us haven't. But it's worked out well. Now we're seeing where the problem... I mean, my week, I'm going to forget. Even though I got the win, I took out Torres. And I took out Loughton, who got an assist. I should have, in hindsight, what I should have done is taken out Loughton for Diaz still. Because even though Loughton got an assist, Diaz is definitely going to be a far better player to have this season in my side permanently. So if the template carries on, I've got 2 premium defenders, really. I've got Trent and I've got Diaz. You know, it's not a bad problem to have, but we need it to carry on. But we have got to wrap up, but I'll leave you. I want to drop something. International window, as we've said. I've already made my transfer.
Wow, well, that's a risk.
Because I didn't want, I knew he'd go up in price. So I've brought in, you ready? I've lost Barnes, but Harvey Barnes is gone.
Yeah.
He's done nothing at Leicester at all. He's gone. Their fixtures now turned more difficult. And I've brought in Damari Gray.
Oh, okay.
He's got two in his last two.
5.5, isn't he?
Hmm?
5.5, great.
5.5. So I've got rid of a 6.9 million player for 5.5. So I've now got 2.4 million in the bank. Now the aim is that I give both Dele Alli and Danny Ings one more week. Danny Ings has got Chelsea, but he's just one of those finishers that can score against anyone. So I've just kept faith in him for one more week because I thought Barnes was more important to get rid of. And Gray's price was going to rise. So he's now 5.6. But I got him at 5.5. It just seemed like the obvious one to make. And I didn't want to wait. It seems even. He's not on international duty. You know, he's fine. He'll be all right. And they've got a good run of fixtures coming up. So the next move that I'm going to make could potentially be either Ings to Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Dele Alli to either dip back into Man City and maybe get Grealish or maybe Torres again. But I don't think I'm ready for Pep roulette. I'm glad I'm out of it, to be honest. Diaz is pretty much set in stone to start. And I don't have to worry about Pep, what team Pep puts out every week, because it doesn't matter. I haven't got any of them. It's fine.
I know. It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Have you got any more? Any more on fantasy football or just football?
I could talk about fantasy football for about 2 hours, but I'll stop myself there.
Who are you bringing in? Let's leave it on that. Who are you thinking about bringing in?
Well, I was looking at, because I've got a bit of money in the bank, I was looking at shipping out Ings for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but Dominic Calvert-Lewin's now pulled out of the England squad with an injury.
Yep.
So I want to monitor that situation. So I think I might keep faith with Ings.
Damari Gray. I'm telling
you. No, he's a good player, but I think my work needs to be done in defence. So I think now I've got...
Yeah, you've got Simicast.
I've also got Amati, who has said Leicester's fixtures. He was kind of an enabler for other players, but I think he's been having to start because Targ did come back into the team, actually, for Villa, but their fixtures take a turn for the worse. So I think I need to bring in a defender. And then, so if it's not going to be DCL, then I think it's going to be somewhere in defence. I don't know who yet, so we'll see.
Oh, tune in next week to see if Mitchell has come up with who he's going to bring in into his fantasy football team. Mitchell, thank you very much for joining me for another week.
Pleasure.
And thank you very much for listening.
Touchline rap. This is a touchline rap. A touchline rap. Oh, touchline rap.
The podcast you have just listened to is brought to you by Anchor. This is the only place to get all your podcast needs. If you want a warm, fuzzy podcast from all them people, then you ought to listen to the podcast via Anchor. It's the only place to get all that podcast juiciness and stuff. Thank you, y'all.